Hello and welcome to Discovering the Jewish Jesus. I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and today Rabbi Schneider is going to explain how to tune into the frequency of God. Do you remember the old school radios that people used to own? Depending on the weather or where you lived, you had to like carefully adjust the dial just to tune in the station just right so you could hear it. In much the same way, today Rabbi Schneider explains that in order to catch God's frequency, we have to intentionally be tuning in to what His Spirit is speaking every day. And if you're new to our program, you can learn more about us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. But now, here's Rabbi. Let's get started.
We're continuing our series today, Mysteries in the Gospel of John, Season 7. And interestingly today, we're going to pick up in the Gospel of John, Chapter 7. So let's begin. Hear the Word of God. After these things, Yeshua, or Jesus, was walking in Galilee. For he was unwilling to walk in Judea because the Jews were seeking to kill him. I explained in an earlier episode how the Jews here refer to the religious Jewish leadership in the land of Judea. These were the Pharisees and the Sadducees. This wasn't all the Jewish people that John was referring to. John himself was a Jew. He was speaking to the religious leadership of Judea. Verse number 2. Now the feast of the Jews, the feast of booths, was near. The Feast of Booths is the Feast of Tabernacles, which we call in Hebrew Sukkot or Sukkos. So all three of these titles refer to the same feast, the Feast of Booths, the Feast of Sukkot, Tabernacles, it's all the same thing. Therefore, his brother said to him, "Leave here and go into Judea so that your disciples also may see your works which you are doing. For no one does anything in secret when he himself seeks to be known publicly. If you do these things, show yourself to the world, for not even his brothers were believing in him." So I want to take a step back for a second. The Feast of Booths, Sukkot, the Feast of Tabernacles, it's one of the three main feasts that God gave the Jewish people. These are called the Pilgrim Feast, where the Lord commanded his children to come to Jerusalem and worship him and present an offering. The Feast of Booths or Tabernacles, the Feast of Unleavened Bread and Passover, and the Feast of Shavuot or Pentecost. These are the three pilgrim feasts where Jews from all over came to Jerusalem. Everyone was going to be there. So his brothers are saying to him, if you are who you say you are, we're going to go up to Jerusalem for the Feast of Booths and show your power there. Show your glory there, because if you are who you say you are, show everyone. No one that says they're somebody wants to keep it a secret, but seeks to be known publicly. So go. That's what's happening here. And it says in verse 5, for not even his brothers were believing in him. Some of you, like me, you have family members, they don't believe in you. There's reasons sometimes that people don't believe in us, right? I mean, if you or I were living an unstable life before coming to Jesus, and all of a sudden we're talking about Jesus all the time, it's understandable why people don't immediately believe in us. Or if there's a lot of inconsistencies in our lives, if we're talking the talk but not walking the walk, there's reasons that are justifiable why people wouldn't believe in us. But oftentimes, people are not believing in us because there's a spiritual war going on, and it's not really us that they're rejecting. It's Yeshua that they're rejecting. And so even as Jesus was rejected, not because of some sin he was doing or inconsistency in his walk, but he was rejected simply because the people around him were hard and they would not receive the revelation that he had, so it is sometimes, beloved ones, with you and I. Sometimes those that are closest to us will not receive the witness of Jesus from our lives. And it's not always because something is wrong with you or something wrong with me. It's because they just won't receive Jesus. Either the devil has them bound, they don't want to repent, or they're just blinded by the power of darkness. So we can identify, some of us, with what Jesus experienced here. Even his own brothers were not believing in him. So Jesus said to them, "My time is not yet come." They said, "Go up to the feast. Go to Jerusalem during the Feast of Tabernacles and show yourself." Yeshua said, "My time is not yet here, but your time is always opportune." That's interesting. Jesus had a divine timetable that he walked on. He knew when to walk. He knew when to go. He knew when to stop. He knew what to say. He was walking in divine synchronicity, in divine tuning with the Holy Spirit. And God wants you and I to walk in a divine tuning of the Holy Spirit. He wants our steps to be on step with him. His Spirit's flow through our lives. He doesn't want it just to go on in the natural, like Jesus said, "You guys, your time is always." Why was their time always? They were in the flesh. There was no rhyme or reason to their lives. They were in the flesh. It was low level. But Jesus said, "My time is not yet come," because he was working from a divine timetable. And so you and I, beloved, want to always be looking to the Lord, that we're in step with him so that our lives hit the mark, that we have impact because we're tuned by the Holy Spirit. We're in his timing. Our words are the words he wants us to speak. Our actions are the actions he wants us to take. And so Jesus said, "My time is not yet come, but your time is always opportune. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it that its deeds are evil." What does this mean? The world cannot hate you. The world doesn't hate the world. The world celebrates the world. Every new fashion that comes along, people buy into it. Every new morality that is coming, sweeping the world, people buy into. But Jesus said, they hate me. The world hates me because I testify to it that its deeds are evil. Nobody that is speaking about all the new definitions of what it means to be a man or what it means to be a woman or no one that's redefining marriage. The world doesn't hate them. But those of us that are saying God created them male and female, and it's not up to the individual to decide whether they're a male or a female. Their anatomy tells them how God created them. Those of us that take that position, the world hates us because we're testifying against it, that its deeds are evil, just like Jesus did. Those of us that are saying marriage is between a man and a woman, not between a man and a man and a woman and a woman. Those of us that are defining marriage the way the Lord defined marriage, a man shall leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, and the two shall become one, and they have the ability to make babies together. Those of us that are defining marriage the way the Bible defines marriage, the world hates us because we're a testimony against it, that its deeds are evil. So Jesus says, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify of it, that its deeds are evil. Jesus says to his brothers, go up to the feast yourselves. I do not go up to this feast because my time has not yet fully come. So his brothers, they went, but Jesus, he lingered for a little while. Having said these things to them, he stayed in Galilee. But when his brothers had gone up to the feast, then he himself also went up, not publicly, but as if in secret. It's interesting to me that Jesus didn't go up and self-promote himself like so many do today. Jesus went in as if it was in secret. He waited for the Father's time to promote him and publicize him. Verse number 11, so the Jews were seeking him at the feast and were saying, where is he? Because he was in secret. There was much grumbling among the crowds concerning him. Some were saying, he's a good man. Others were saying, no, on the contrary, he leads the people astray. It's the same thing with you and I, beloved, when we're his witnesses. Some will say yes and amen, and some will say we're terrible people that don't deserve a voice or the right to be heard. Yet no one was speaking openly of him for fear of the Jews. Once again, the religious Jewish leadership, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. But when it was now the midst of the feast, Yeshua, Jesus, went up into the temple and began to teach. And the scriptures tell us that when Yeshua taught, it wasn't as the scribes and the Pharisees, but he taught as one that has authority. Truly, truly, I say to you, they felt the power. The Jews then were astonished, saying, how has this man become learned, having never been educated. So Jesus answered them and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. I just have a word for some of you right now. Some of you might be afraid to share your faith with people because you think you're not educated. You don't know the Bible well enough. Maybe you didn't excel at school. They said about Jesus, how has this man become learned having never been educated? He didn't go to the Yale of his day. And the same is true for you. The Holy Spirit will give you the words, beloved, when it's time for you to speak. So don't let the fact that you didn't graduate from Yale or Harvard, an Ivy League school, or go to Bible school, or maybe even graduate high school, don't let that stop you from speaking what the Holy Spirit has taught you.
You're listening to Discovering the Jewish Jesus with Rabbi Schneider. We want you to know there are so many ways that you can watch and listen to Rabbi's programs. Online, you'll find us at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. You can find resources like our television broadcast schedule, Rabbi's messages on your podcasting platform, YouTube content, devotionals, and much more. You can even follow us on Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. Check out all these resources online today. When you give to Discovering the Jewish Jesus, it allows us to spend more time focusing on what really matters. And for us, that means getting God's word out to as many people as possible. And right now, at this very moment, there is someone who needs to hear Rabbi's practical biblical teaching. And your financial gift is what makes that possible. To donate, go online to discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Now to conclude today's message, here's Rabbi Schneider.
How has this man become learned, having never been educated? So Jesus answered and said, my teaching is not mine, but his who sent me. I love this next verse. Hear this. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak from myself. You know what this tells us? In order for someone to know the truth, in order for someone to know God, in order for someone to know whether Jesus really is who he claimed to be, they have to be willing to know. Many people don't know because they're not willing to know. Jesus said, if any man is willing, do you really want to know, or do you want to know only what you want to know? If any man is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. And this is true about all the communication that the Holy Spirit wants to speak to us. In order to hear his voice and know, you and I have to be willing to know. Let me just conceptualize this for a second. I'm taking just a bit of a sidestep, but then I'll bring it back to the text. It relates. How many times have you or I prayed to the Lord about something? Lord, should we do this or should we not do this? Lord, do you want me to make this purchase or not make this purchase? Lord, do you want me to do this or not do that? But deep inside, we in our heart knew what we wanted. We're asking what the Lord wants. And then the Lord speaks to us just through an inward knowing of what he wants, but he tells us something different than what we want. Lord, what do you want me to do here? And then there's a simple witness of the Holy Spirit. He's telling us to do the opposite of what we want to do. We're asking him, what should we do? But the Holy Spirit's telling us to do something different than what we want. Lord, should I buy that? You want to buy it. And the witness of the Holy Spirit puts a check in our heart. You have a no. What do? You pray again. That's what people do. They keep praying. They ask the Lord. The Lord tells them no when they want yes. Rather than saying yes to God's no, rather than getting an agreement with God, what do? They pray again until they open themselves up to be deceived by the enemy because they won't receive what God's wanting to tell them because they're not willing to do it, so they can't really know. So eventually what happens is God withdraws and they ask the same question again and they hear what they want to hear, but not from the Lord. They hear from the powers of darkness. They become self-deceived because they wouldn't obey because they weren't willing to know. It was the same thing here. They couldn't know who Jesus really was because they weren't willing to know. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching, whether it is of God or whether I speak for myself. So let's remember that, beloved. If we're going to ask God to lead us in something, to guide us in something, to answer us about something, we have to be willing to do what he tells us to do. Otherwise, we're going to end up in deception. He who speaks, Jesus continues, from himself, seeks his own glory. But he who is seeking the glory of the one who sent him, he is true, and there is no unrighteousness in him. I wonder how many of us are thoroughly seeking the glory of God compared to how much we're really just promoting ourselves. I wonder how much of what we do is really because we're seeking the glory of Hashem, of Father God, and how much of what we do is really only all about ourselves. It's a question we all need to ask ourselves, and we need to monitor our heart and monitor our motives. Jesus said the one that's true is seeking the glory of the one that sent him, seeking the glory of God. The one that is just doing what they want to do because of their own selfish ambition, Jesus said, that person's not true. I remember an old song in my old days, back in the 70s and 80s, Billy Joel, Honesty, I think it was called. Honesty, said, is such a lonely word. Everyone is so untrue. Honesty is hardly ever heard, he said, but mostly what I need from you. I mean, it's a true statement. Honesty is such a rare commodity in humanity. But Jesus was true through and through. And he's calling you and I, beloved, to a state of purity, just like himself. He continues on, did not Moses give you the law? And yet none of you carries out the law. Why do you seek to kill me? It's kind of almost comical when you think about it. Here's these religious fanatics, you know, making themselves out to be hyper-religious, the righteous ones. They're crazed by their religion, extremist. And Jesus looks at them like, Meshuggah, they're crazy. Did not Moses give you the law? And yet not one of you carries out the law. Why do you seek to kill me? It was not so. The crowd answered, you have a demon. Who seeks to kill you? There's the dishonesty, covering up the motives of their heart. They were murderous. It got to the place in John chapter 11 where they literally got together to kill him after Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead. He said from that day forward, they got together to figure out how to kill him. So they were acting, oh, you've got a demon, who wants to kill you? No, it was in their heart, a murderous spirit. Jesus knew exactly what was in their heart. The crowd answered, you have a demon, who seeks to kill you? Jesus answered them, I did one deed, and you all marvel. Beloved, Jesus is calling us to die to ourselves. The more we surrender to him, the more we yield to the Spirit's voice, the more we pick up our cross to follow him, the more that we can bring all our heart, our motives, and our mind, our thoughts, into alignment with his will, the deeper into an experience of God's presence you and I will go. The more we yield to him and get separated from our own flesh and from the world, the more we'll become like him. The more true we will be, and the more we become like him, beloved, the more we'll know him. Because we can never really know him if we only know him as someone that's up there. The only way we fully discover him is when we discover him as the God that's in our hearts. And the only way to discover the God that's in here, beloved, is to be conformed to his image. So, Father, we bless you today. We love you today. We're in need of your grace and in need of you circumcising our hearts. Father, thank you that you said that you would perfect the work that you began in us. We ask you today, Holy Father, to conform us to the image of your Son. And we thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen.
We've been talking about mysteries in the Gospel of John, and if you'd like to learn more about this series or about our Bible teacher, Rabbi Schneider, visit us online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And you know, these messages are available 24/7 on your favorite podcasting platform, or you can find them on our YouTube channel. Just don't forget to click the subscribe button so you can stay up to date on all of Rabbi's content. And here at Discovering the Jewish Jesus, we provide this daily program and these resources because we want to help encourage and equip you in your spiritual walk with the Lord. And because we hope to see people from all over the world come to faith. That's the heart behind this ministry and everything we do here. Rabbi, would you remind us why it's so important to give?
Beloved, it's important that we put God first in every area of our lives. It concerns me that it seems that so many people today are trying to use God for an experience, but they're not being obedient. I think of many, many people that are going to churches. They love the worship music, but they're not being obedient to God's word. Jesus said, "Unless a man picks up his cross, denies himself, and follows me, he cannot be my disciple." Sacrificial obedience is the only way to truly walk hand in hand with God. This is why it's important how we handle our finances. Going back to the first book of the Bible with Abraham, all the way through the New Testament, we see that those that truly walk with God honor Him in every area of their lives, including their finances. I want to just ask you today, if Discovering the Jewish Jesus is being used by Father God in your life to be a blessing, would you honor Him with your finances through this ministry? Thank you for your love and for your financial support.
To support this ministry with a gift of any amount, please call us at 800-777-7835. Or if it's easier, give online at discoveringthejewishjesus.com. And we'll say thank you for your generous financial support by sending you Rabbi's Message of the Month. And it's also available as a digital download. And we'll also be sure to send you our latest newsletter, which those of you who already receive it know that this month features the biblical feast of Passover. Rabbi wants to encourage you to learn all about the past, present, and future fulfillment of this specially set-apart season that begins next week at sunset on April the 22nd and ends April the 30th at nightfall. So please give today. And then before we wrap up our program, let me remind you that no matter who you are, we understand that it can be hard to discern God's voice when there's an endless barrage of noise that distracts us every day. So we'd like to offer you a great resource that's been designed to help you silence that noise. It's our free gift to you, and you can download Rabbi's Guide to Hearing God's Voice right now when you visit our dedicated webpage. You'll find the guide online at myfreegift.com/hearing. But right now, let's wrap up today's study with a special blessing. Here is Rabbi Schneider.
In the book of Numbers, chapter 6, we find a personal blessing from God our Father. This blessing should touch our hearts because it's so personal. Father God wants to intimately bless you. So receive His blessing into your life today with gladness and an open heart.
Yavarechech Yahweh Vayishmarecha Ya'er Yahweh Panav Elecha Vihunecha Yisa Yahweh Panav Elecha Ve'asem Lecha Shalom.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift you up with His countenance. And the Lord give you, beloved one, His peace. God bless you, and shalom.
I'm your host, Dustin Roberts, and Discovering the Jewish Jesus is a production of Shalom Ministries. Be sure to join us again tomorrow when Rabbi Schneider explains why God sets the time. That's Friday on Discovering the Jewish Jesus.